On this episode of The Playbook, I have Erica Nardini, CEO of Barstool Sports, and we're going to learn how Barstool uses polarization to help expand their brand and why David Portnoy is not a Buddhist. You can learn this and more on The Playbook.
This is Entrepreneurs The Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success and what made them champions on the field and in the boardroom. I'm your host and CEO of Sports One Marketing, David Meltzer.
I am so excited to be back at Barstool with the CEO of Barstool, Erica Nardini. Welcome to The Playbook.
Thank you.
First of all, I'm going to start off with your beads because when I was with Portnoy years ago, I got in trouble at the Super Bowl when I interviewed him because I asked if he was Buddhist.
What prompted that question?
His karma. Like, I literally, he was, you know, his personality, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, you must have done something in your past life that was incredible to be able to live this life.
We say that he's
because
made a deal with
right
the devil.
Now is not going to be good for you in the future.
That's funny.
Yeah, he thought it was, funny.
Yeah, I'm sure he did.
Than you.
Yeah, for sure.
Anyway, looking, you know, this is a playbook for entrepreneurs, et cetera.
Yep.
One of the things I love about your background that is similar to mine is that you're a visionary when it came to the internet.
Mm-hmm.
We both got involved early in the internet when nobody really wanted to talk about it. They're all looking at the big, you know, even in sports agentry with the traditional athletes that I had, everyone was stuck on, you know, I want to represent Troy Aikman, Steve Young, and Warren Moon like you. And I was looking at this whole digital
side
of things.
Yep.
What was it originally about the internet that attracted you to get into business on that side when all the money was on the other side?
I loved the internet. Like, first of all, nobody wanted to work in the internet in the late 90s. Like, it wasn't...
I was in it 92.
Yeah.
So can like you imagine?
Yeah, it like just wasn't
my mom
cool.
Thought it was a fad.
Totally. Nobody understood what you're talking about. And I don't know that I was a visionary. And I liked it because I felt like it was limitless and that technology could open a whole new world that was not possible before. I didn't like rules and kind of boundaries and... I just didn't like rules, basically. So print media or broadcast media was just all about rules. It was all about, like, a specific format or a specific ad type or a specific way you had to work with a celebrity or a talent. And I felt like the internet was weird. It was lawless. It was free and open. There were parts of it that were really seedy and dirty. But there was something very alive and kind of viral. Like, there was something teeming in it.
It's interesting because throughout the progression of your career, although you don't like rules, you have to play in a space that has a lot of rules. Mm-hmm. And, like, even now, probably even more rules
for sure.
Compliance, right?
Yeah.
And, but yet, it seems to me that not only you personally, but Barstool, you know exactly where that line is, where you can still stay authentic and organic. Mm-hmm. And follow the rules.
Yeah. We are business people. So we understand, you know, what is the box we're playing in? Is it worth it for us to play in this box? Instagram is a great example. Like, we love Instagram. We have a great relationship with Instagram. Instagram is hugely valuable for us, but it has its own set of rules. And to be successful on Instagram, you have to play by Instagram's rules. Like, it's just a fact. It's the way it is, but it's worth it for us. And I think we're pretty common sense in terms of if we're going to play by somebody else's rules, are they the right rules and is it good for Barstool?
And, you know, as a young woman moving up the ranks as an executive in the internet, one of my mentors was a woman named Randy Granovetter, who's passed away. She started Jabra. She's, I think, the first woman ever to raise over $100 million. And I say that because people lose perspective of time. I was in an interview, and these kids, I was telling about Warren Moon in 1978 and how there was racism. And then he had to go to Canada for 6 years and to play quarterback. Mm-hmm. And they were like, no, that was 1978. How could that be?
You're like,
that wasn't that long ago.
Yeah.
The internet makes it even faster. Well, your career, you've really been able to stay ahead of the curve as an executive.
Mm-hmm.
And I have three daughters, and I think it's really important for you if you could share some advice on how in a male-dominated business world, still, in a male-dominated business sure. that you're in, have you been able to stay ahead of the curve and, you know, not have to, it doesn't seem like to me that you had to play the same type of brand, internal branding games where you were really authentic and organic. It's not like you were like some, here's my point. Sorry, I'm not that great of an interview like people at Barstool.
No.
Here's the two people I see from my childhood. Yep. Gorgeous women, mm-hmm. right, that were eye candy for the camera. Or like ex-superstar athletes.
Okay.
Right? And here you were Colby, lacrosse player, who like I think had to play for 2 years just to figure it out.
Yeah.
But yet you've, and I'm watching the career, it's just extraordinary because people have just taken you for who you are. And it seems like you've been able to keep your own woman identity in a really authentic way.
Oh, that's nice. I don't think about being a woman at work. Like, I like to work. I like to win.
I like activity you get paid for. I don't call it work.
Oh, okay. Yes, activity you get paid for. I like that. Yeah, right. I like activity I get paid for. I like activity, period. It's better when you get paid for it.
Yeah.
So I've just always liked to work. I'm very curious. I have a lot of energy and a lot of drive. And I had advantages, I guess, coming into business. But, you know, I went to a good college. I guess, you know, I landed a good internship at Fidelity, which kind of springboarded things. But I didn't have a ton of advantages. I didn't go to business school. I wasn't groomed for any big position. I didn't have, you know, my parents weren't connected in anything. And the only way I knew how to move forward and to develop was to learn from people, to be a good team player. Same things that worked for me in college, playing sports, to be honest with you. And I just always kind of did it in my own way, in a way that felt right for me and seemed to work. So then I just did more of it. So, you know, I'm really appreciative that I think people have been very accepting of me as just who I am. And I think that that's, you know, now that, you know, Barstool's gotten so much bigger since I got here, it's now a really big platform. And that to be able to say to people, you can be successful by being and be yourself is an awesome thing. Like, it's crazy to me that you have to say that, but I think women especially feel like they have to look a certain way, they have to act a certain way, they're supposed to conduct themselves in the boardroom a certain way. You're not supposed to say fuck all the time. Like, I say fuck every other word.
Or wear a t-shirt that says drink like a champion today.
So
first time I've ever been in an interview with that shirt on. That's awesome.
That's true. You can buy it at BarstoolSports.com.
And I will.
Yeah, thank you. So I don't know that I have any, like, one trick or piece of advice on it. But I think if you know, if you believe in yourself and believe in what you're doing and you put yourself with people who will push you, I think amazing things can happen. I think the challenge right now for people in business is everything is black or white. You're either perfect or you're not. And the other thing is people don't like to be pushed anymore, is I think one of the things
that's happening.
Yeah, like they get their feet. Everybody should get a trophy. Everyone should get promoted. Like, you should get out of college and be a CEO. Like, that's hard because there's a lot to learn. I'm still learning a lot.
Me too.
And I think that that's just important.
You bring up a really good point a couple times during that conversation. It's time. Mm-hmm. You know, I was outside in the lobby and it has the Barstool Gazette or whatever it was. Probably the first thing that you got from Dave years ago, 2003.
Yep.
And I have a 17 and a half year philosophy of success.
Okay.
There are no overnight successes.
Yeah. Yep.
And unfortunately, because of Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn, et cetera, people only see, well, first of all, they see me looking as if I'm 40, not 52, because I can just FaceTime myself, fix myself
face
or whatever.
Right,
yeah, exactly. Yep. But worse, they don't see what I went through since I've been 24.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And that's why I really use my content to try to describe, like, hey, I'm one of the biggest screw ups. And I had to learn, right?
Yeah.
Ego. And I had to learn to ask for help. Mm-hmm. And I had to learn all these things. And that's why I lost all my money when I was in my 30s. Mm-hmm. And I did all these dumb things. But moreover, that time is really, I think, critical. The hurting feelings and time. I have so many kids working for me and they just think, you know, I had a kid come in. He goes, I really, really want to work for you, Mr. Meltzer. I'll do anything. I said, well, to be honest, you have all the skills. I said, but you need to treat this job like Rudy wanted to play for Notre Dame.
Yep.
And after he's like, who's Rudy? then I realized I'm in big trouble here.
Years older than you. Yeah.
But, you know, there's a lot that's gone on in those 17 and a half years for you and a little bit more. How do you, as a leader of, you know, this fast-growing company that now has extraordinary financing behind it and great trajectory, you know, your future still relies on that 23 to 25-year-old that's coming in here?
Yeah.
And how do you get them to share two perspectives? One, toughen up. You know, and two, this is not going to be an overnight success. We're not going to pay you $600,000 right out the bat. You're not going to take my job next week.
Yeah, it's, I think it's easier for Barstool in a lot of ways because we're really blunt. Dave, you know, brick by this place was built by Dave brick by brick. I mean, if you listen to any of Dave's stories, I think the things.
So he's not a Buddhist, though.
Not a Buddhist. Not a Buddhist. Maybe in his next life.
Yeah, yeah. In his past life, he was. I promise you. His karma is so good in this life.
He has great karma. I would agree with that. He's a lucky man. Yeah. But he also worked for it to this point. You know, like if the things Dave did to keep Barstool Sports alive are things that I think 99.9% of people would not do. And that's incredible sacrifice, and it's turned into incredible reward. But if it weren't for the sacrifice, there would never be the reward. So, you know, I think the thing that we have going for us is it's just very blunt. Like, we have a company of people who want to work here, who want to work hard, who, if they're on the talent and content side, they want to be famous, like, they who want to break through. Like, you can't break through. Yes, this place can lift you up a little bit, but you can't break through unless you have an incredible work ethic, unless you have a drive and you have something to say that resonates with people. I think what's harder is in companies where that are either really big companies or demotivated companies or places where you can hide, where people just grumble all day about, like, I didn't get this promotion, I'm not making as much money as so-and-so. So I think that the if you for people trying to make a difference, to be in a place that's as outspoken and mission-driven as possible is the best possible thing that could happen.
And through that, too, you know, I've learned to fire fast over these last 3 years, which was really difficult for me because I fall more to the nice side of things.
Yeah, it's hard.
Especially when you're telling people, hey, my mission is to make people happy. Yeah, and then you're like, then why'd you fire me?
Yeah, totally.
Because you hopefully learn something. Mm-hmm. But more importantly, I think, too, is there's this quick transition that's going on into the millennial side of things with the younger people where, look, you do have to, and I don't call it sacrifice, I say invest in yourself, right? Like, really invest in yourself. And I think that 1% of the 1% that do get the jobs that they want and are in situations like that and can build culture companies like this have to understand negative energy. And one of the interesting things with you and Dave that I see is that you know how to lean into negativity and it's not even turn it into a positive situation. It's literally that you draw out the positive energy from, I always say negative energy moves me towards something better.
Sure.
Like, Barstool's built on negative energy moving you to something better and allowing the truth to elevate out of it.
Totally.
What are some of the things that you look at to take advantage, kind of like this, you know, master? It is the, I think, out of all the companies that I get in front of, and I get in a lot, like, you guys are the masters of, like, Roger Goodell has made you more money than any other person on earth. And I laugh every time I see something you guys do. I'm like, they're so smart, because it's the kind of stuff I like to do. But I'm not quite as smart as Dave and you. But I study it because I'm like, this is genius. How can I get Roger to Goodell to make Dave Meltzer huge?
Because
this is awesome.
Exactly. How do you make the NFL your marketing department?
Yeah, but you do it all the time.
Yeah, I mean, Dave, I think that's one of Dave's biggest gifts. I think there's no one better at channeling energy than him.
See, he is a Buddhist. Yeah, I'm going to bring this up.
Animal.
This will be the title.
We got a new theme of
Portnoy the Buddha.
But I also think, look, like, we don't take a lot of punches. And if somebody punches us, then there's going to be a reaction to it. And I think we have you know, whether it's someone calling me a token and saying that I'm just here because like,
from
I'm
the 10th
skirt.
Employee, right. They figured this out that
right.
early.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
That's what I tell people when they tell me that about you. I'm like, you know, she's like the 10th person there.
Yeah. Yeah,
I could understand if Penn just hired you right now.
Yeah.
I could understand that.
Yeah, for sure. That's funny. That's a good way to look at it. But, you know, I think everything has an equal and opposite reaction. And I think what we've, you know, this is a place that has built itself on the internet and come out of this place with not a lot of rules, not a lot of laws. Anything goes for the most part. And it's changing. The internet's changed a lot since, you know, 1999 or whenever. But I think what we've done a good job, because we have our pulse on what's current and because what's happening is so polarizing, there's a lot that's polar, I think, on the internet. You know, we're able to channel that into something that puts us at the middle of it, gains a lot of attention for it, and, you know, usually brings a pretty good outcome or can bring a good outcome from it.
That's amazing how you do that and monetize it, which is super cool too.
Yeah, for sure.
Which is something I love to do.
Yeah.
The other thing that I see you doing really well is something that I had to learn later on, and it comes from a great sense of humility. And you have a great sense of humility, you especially. Mm-hmm. You know, Dave can work on his, but you literally can, and I say that all of you, but you illuminate things as a company really well. Like illumination is a tool that makes you invulnerable, even though everyone sees you as super vulnerable. Is that an intentional for you habit and discipline and strategy, or is it just something that comes naturally to you?
No, I don't think it's a strategy. I think, you know, it's funny.
It is for me, because I'm like a complete narcissist and like illuminate. Like I go to blame, shame, and justification.
Oh, really?
Like for
I'm
me,
like, I don't
it's
understand
a learned
half
trade.
These words. I'm like, this is fascinating. I'm learning a lot here. This is great.
I'll put it on
me.
Your next t-shirt.
This is great for me.
Illuminate
yeah.
with Barstool
yeah.
and drink
I'm
a
like,
lot.
Shit, I don't know. I haven't thought about any of it.
Get Jaeger to sponsor it.
Yeah, exactly. No, I don't. I think we get criticized because it's that we don't have a plan and or a strategy sometimes. And I actually think that that's what makes us so great, is that we are in the moment and we move very, very fast and we're very opportunistic and we have a very visceral sense of what will work and what won't work and what's right and what's not right. You know, in terms of me, like I feel very grateful to be here. I love to work. I'm in it for the work. I'm in it to work with these people and build something. And that to me is like, if that's the end of the day, like I'm so fulfilled and then some. So
that's awesome.
That's kind of how I think about it.
And our last issue as we get into it, obviously you have this great opportunity here with Penn Finance.
Yep.
Penn Gambling. And the one thing that's interesting is culture will change.
Sure.
And coming from a space of, you know, complete freedom in 1999 to compliance-ridden gambling is an interesting combination.
Sure.
But it also provides huge opportunity
sure.
for you.
Yeah.
You know, I was joking around with, you know, my favorite show, The Breakfast Guys, Willie and Large. The first time I had to sign a release.
Oh,
like,
interesting.
Right? I was like, you know, why are we signing a release?
Yeah, yeah.
And like, there's actually issues. I unfortunately went to law school, so
I
know a lot of the compliance side.
Yeah.
As the CEO,
you
want to stay authentic to your brand.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, as a big investor in the gambling side, they want to also make sure that they don't lose their rights to huge fortunes, which I see is a beautiful marriage, by the way.
I agree.
Do you stay up at night or have any anxiety over that type
of conflict?
I don't
have anxiety over it. I want to be extremely deliberate about it, which is, you know, we've learned in the last 4 years, and even before I got here, like trial by error is basically the Barstool strategy. Now, there's less room for error now, is basically how I look at it. So we need to be very deliberate. The other good thing is that, you know, Barstool's kind of like dog years. Like 4 years at Barstool is 100 years somewhere else. Like we just move through things so fast. We've been able to learn a lot and do a lot and put the right guardrails and protections into things. You know, we've been making people sign releases for 3.5 years.
Oh, good. I just got everyone in trouble now.
Yeah. So, so I don't know. Like, I think that we'll need to look, responsible gaming is a big deal. Gambling licenses are a massive deal. It's a privilege. It's a right.
Yeah.
you know, they have a $5 billion company built on that. So I take that really seriously. I don't, so I want to do whatever we need to do to color within the lines on that, and we'll do that. And I feel really confident in that. We need the right, we, you know, we have to have the right consequence when people don't. We'll have that too. And then I want to keep Barstool. Like, I don't, I came from big corporate companies. Like, I know what that's
and
like.
And compliance.
And compliance. Like, I speak that language.
Yeah, I have been
in those meetings. And so I want to be able to, I actually feel fortunate in that I know what that world is. And now I can help manage this world in the context of that world. And I can speak both languages. But I think that there will be some natural separation in that.
Absolutely. Last question. You are a young CEO as well.
Oh, thank you. I love that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, I was watching, I forget which comedian, but it was hilarious. Yeah. They put up, you know, all three candidates, you know, Biden, Trump. And they're like, what job in the world would these three guys be a finalist for? And then I like look at you. I'm like, certainly not Barstool.
No, not Barstool. I agree with that.
But what is the thing that you're looking most forward to, not just in the next year, but literally in the next decade? What's the thing that you look most forward to?
Just keeping my hands in things and doing things and learning things. And I just really believe we can make things, and I can make things. I'm into building stuff. So I just want to build more stuff. I want to help people. I want to see Barstool and Penn be really successful. I want to figure out this intersection between media and betting, which I think will be very interesting. I also, like, I'm just curious. Like, I don't know what I'll be interested in 5 years from now, but I can guarantee I'm going to be interested in something or a lot of things. And so just keeping hungry, I think, is my biggest thing. And staying humble and learning a lot and still messing up all the time. Like, that's what I'm hopeful for.
Well, you are an icon to so many already. So I can't wait to see what you do over the next decade as well. I have Erica Nardini. She's the CEO of Barstool, living by one of my favorite pieces of advice: be more interested than interesting. This is Dave Meltzer with Entrepreneurs, The Playbook. Well, I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of The Playbook as much as me. On a personal note, I just wanted to thank everyone for making The Playbook such a success. Don't forget to continue it by sharing, subscribing, and listening to your favorite episodes. This is Dave Meltzer with The Playbook.